Well, I'm Richard Froyen, a professor of economics here at UNC. And so what I'm going to talk about is the Federal Reserve's response to the current crisis. The current crisis is often compared to the situation in the United States during the Great Depression. And so to start, I might look at some comments that business leaders expressed when they had hearings in 1932 during the Great Depression. And they asked them what the problem was. So the CEO of Montgomery Ward is quoted as saying, "To describe the causes of this situation is rather beyond my capacity. I'm unfortunate in having no friends that seem able to clearly explain it to me." Myron Taylor, who was at the time president of U.S. Steel, stated that out of this depression we are going through, we shall have learned something of high importance. He then said, "It's too soon to know what that will be." Now, some thought they had solutions to the problem. Bernard Baruch, who was the advisor to many U.S. presidents and was a sage, at least as his press agent said, he said the solution was balance budgets, stop spending money we haven't got, sacrifice for frugality and revenue, cut government spending, cut it as rations are cut in a siege, tax everybody for everything. Now, this was a prescription for disaster. But Myron Taylor was right, and we did learn something of importance out of that. And what we learned was expressed by Franco Modigliani, a Nobel Prize-winning economist, as the central practical message of John Maynard Keynes' general theory, which was that a private enterprise economy using an intangible money, and today I would substitute having a highly specialized financial sector, needs to be, can be, and therefore should be stabilized by appropriate monetary and fiscal policies. Now, Ben Bernanke, as an academic economist, was a very careful student of the Great Depression. And in general, not just a student of the Depression as a whole, but of the role of credit and of the banking system in the Depression, and more generally, the role of the importance of credit in the transmission of monetary policy and in macroeconomics as a whole. And the application of Keynes's message to the current financial crisis, and it's not exclusively Keynesian, this isn't really a controversial point about schools of macroeconomics, but the general message there is that the Federal Reserve or central bank is the only agent in the economy that has the will and the ability to expand its own balance sheet, create liabilities on itself, which are assets to the financial institutions and other institutions that enable them to provide credit to the economy. And they're the only institution that can really prevent massive amounts of failure of financial institutions. So that's the lesson that we learned from the Depression, and that Bernanke in particular has definitely taken in. So what did the Fed do? And now I want to talk only about the Federal Reserve response to the crisis, and just because that's my what I have time for, and it'd be a different kind of a verdict perhaps if we talked about their role in the inception of the crisis, and then a completely different topic as to what will be their role in getting to the cure of this crisis. But let me just give you a few steps. Beginning in September of 2007, the Federal Reserve Open Market Committee began to lower the target federal funds rate. During the period since then, it's gone from 5.25% down to 1.5%. The Fed began the loan auction program in December of 2007 when it became clear that banks were reluctant to lend freely to each other. That program's been expanded several times. In January of 2008, they set up a term facility to make funds available to banks for periods longer than overnight. This program's been expanded also several times. The Fed opened the discount window to primary dealers in government securities, basically investment banks, in March after the failure of Bear Stearns. When lending to these financial institutions didn't result in adequate freeing up of credit markets, earlier this month they started to lend directly to corporations, so to bypass the banks that just sit on the funds that they get and lend directly to the corporations. And last Monday they began an initiative that'll lend to the issuers of money market funds who are hesitant to, in their turn, lend to financial institutions because they're afraid they won't be able to keep the value of their funds at a dollar to a dollar. So the Fed has said, if you need money, come to us, give us those that commercial paper you have or those bank CDs you have, and we'll give you cash. So these initiatives have increased total borrowing from the Federal Reserve by over $500 billion in the past year. And if you look at the expansion of loan facilities, it's been even greater. The money market initiative alone is $500 billion. So the Federal Reserve has responded in large numbers, larger than the numbers we're talking about for allocations of money by Congress. And they've been broad in scope and imaginative in the ways that they go about this. So why do we still have a crisis? If we get to this medical analogy, we could say, well, the patient could say, well, you know, Dr. Bernanke, you're a very smart guy and you're giving me a lot of medicine, but I'm still awfully sick. You know, what's going on here? Well, I think the Federal Reserve has to date been constrained in three ways. First, a solution to the overall crisis requires measures that are beyond the sphere of what central banks can legitimately do. The Fed's been operating on the boundary of that sphere using a provision in a Depression-era statute that allows them to lend in cases of financial exigency to any corporation, partnership, or individual. So they're operating at the boundary, and back in the spring, even Alan Greenspan and Paul Volcker were telling Ben Bernanke that you're at the edge of what a central bank should do. If you're going to recapitalize the banking sector, or if you're going to buy up massive amounts of these troubled assets, then you're putting large amounts of taxpayer money at stake, and the taxpayers deserve to have their representatives involved in that decision. So it was necessary to bring Congress, albeit kicking and screaming, into this process. Choosing which institutions to let fail, whether to bail out AIG, bail out have Bear Stearns incorporated by J.P. Morgan, or let Lehman Brothers fail, those are decisions that the Fed feels very uncomfortable making. So it wasn't surprising that in the weekend after the weekend in September, when Lehman Brothers went down and AIG was lent $85 billion, that Bernanke asked Paulson to go to Congress, and Congress didn't want them there. They didn't want to be asked to make a vote on this before the election, but they went there and told them the patient was dying. The patient was in bad shape. So this process has begun. Secondly, other central banks really need to be part of the process before you get to a solution of what's really a global financial crisis. As the Fed lowered interest rates over the course of the first half of 2007, the European central banks didn't. European central banks were very helpful in the crisis in terms of putting a lot of liquidity into the financial markets, but they didn't lower interest rates. The result of that was that the spread between the European rates and the US rates was really pushing the dollar down. And by the time he gave his speech at Harvard in June, Bernanke expressed the worry of the Fed that there could be a dollar crisis. Now the other central banks are more on board, both in terms of the last cut in October 15th of a half point in the funds rate was also a cut made by the Swedish central bank, the Swiss central bank, the Bank of England, the ECB, and so a unified cut. The third constraint was until recently, commodity prices were rising rapidly. The oil price had hit $145. That's a big constraint on the Fed. They want to encourage the economy to grow, but they worry about inflation. The last time they were accused of being behind the curve was in the 70s when inflation got out of hand, and they don't want to see that happen again. Now commodity prices are coming down, oil most dramatically, but other commodity prices as well, so they're freed of that constraint. So what can we expect? What I think is that we learned a lot. Myron Taylor was right. We learned a big lesson from the Depression. The Fed on its own will prevent that. They have the tools to prevent a financial meltdown that would lead to something like the Great Depression. Second question, can they prevent something like Japan in the 90s, where there was a decade with three recessions and deflation? The answer to that, I think, is also yes. Though there, it's more important that they get cooperation from other central banks. Then finally, can they prevent a serious recession in the United States? Alone, no. There they would need cooperation from the fiscal authorities and, as Stanley may get to, other kinds of policies that are beyond the sphere of what the Federal Reserve can do. So if I looked at the response, I'd say the Federal Reserve has been imaginative and has really done well, but there are limitations to what the central bank can do. Thank you.